Good morning to all of you this morning. It's a blessing to have a full house, and I am grateful for the opportunity to share God's word with you this morning. I guess the final session for you young people before you go back home, and for all the families who've come to see you and listen to you sing. Thank you all for sharing those testimonies. It's exciting to hear some of the overflow of what God's been doing in your heart over the last week, and I'm excited for you. Absolutely, the things that God's been doing in your heart this week are not intended to remain behind here, but are intended by God to go home with you and be lived out in everyday life, and that's definitely our prayer for you. Let's turn to the book of 1 Kings this morning. I'm going to try to move rapidly this morning because there's still quite a full program for today, and so I'm not going to stretch this message very long this morning, so hopefully I will be able to communicate what the Lord's been laying on my heart for the last few days in regards to this portion of Scripture. I'd like for us to look this morning at a not one of the major figures of the Old Testament, but someone that the Bible gives us a snapshot of in this chapter, and then also a mirror portion over in 2 Chronicles. I'd like us to look this morning at the life of Micaiah, and if you like titles, our title this morning is Micaiah, Notorious for Truth-Telling. Micaiah, notorious for truth-telling. In the book of 1 Kings and chapter 22, we have the story of the king of Israel and the king of Judah gathering together and wanting to go up and fight to take back a city that they had lost to the king of Syria. And we're going to read these verses relatively quickly and then come back through and grab some points about Micaiah's life. One of the things that stands out to me when I think about all of you young people going home is that everything that God has done in your life is going to continue to set you apart in the weeks ahead as you move in the direction of what God is calling you to. It's a wonderful thing that you've come here and God has worked in your heart and you've learned new things and you've experienced new freedom. But in order to live those things out in the weeks and months that are ahead, you must be willing to stand alone. You must be willing to stand in a position that makes you unpopular. And so that's why this message is a burden on my heart this morning. Let's read rapidly in in 1 Kings 22, the story of Micaiah. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria? And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not a prophet of the Lord beside that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micaiah the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, Hasten hither, Micaiah the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat the king of Judah sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in the void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenanah, made him horns of iron. And he said, Thus saith the Lord, With these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go up against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on the right hand and on the left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. But Zedekiah, the son of Chenana, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back unto Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. And we'll stop reading there. That's basically the story of Micaiah. This is this one snapshot that God gives us of Micaiah, a man who was notorious for telling the truth. Notorious for telling the truth. Our first point is just that, our title. Micaiah was a man who had gained notoriety as someone who tells the truth. It's an interesting thing that even though Ahab was not living a godly life, he still had a certain respect for the prophets of God. And so when Jehoshaphat and Ahab got their two armies together, they said, maybe we should find out. Let's inquire of the Lord whether this is something that we should do. And they said, is there somebody that we could inquire of? And so they got these prophets together, 400 prophets, and though things were at a fairly low ebb spiritually, these were not the prophets of some idol entity. These were the prophets of God. And these 400 men got together, and one by one, they gave the same report. It's not our message for today, but oh my, what a sad day when 400 men of God, and I say that in quotes, 400 men of God can get together and the truth cannot be found among 400 of God's men. I don't know what the statistics would be today, but it might be that we live in an era where that's about the truth. It may be that we live in an era where you could get 400 of God's men together and not hear the truth about the situation that we're facing. But they listened to these 400. I'm not sure exactly what element it was of listening to 400 prophets coming one after another and giving all these positives. Yes, you're going to win. You're going to prosper. You're going to push the Syrians. I'm not sure what it was, but somehow there was still a question in their hearts as to whether they had heard the truth. Jehoshaphat says, isn't there another prophet of the Lord? We've only heard from 400, but I really feel like if we could just hear from 401, that would exactly be the number I would need to be convinced that we're doing the right thing. Somehow in Jehoshaphat's heart, there was this question. Maybe it was the tone of voice. Maybe it was the fact that everybody agreed so confidently. Maybe Jehoshaphat began to feel like he was watching a performance. One by one, they just come up. Hey, this is how you're going to win. This is how you're going to prosper. He said, isn't there one more? I would just like 401. Ahab says, yeah, there is one. There's that one. Yeah, he's not here. That one. But you know, I don't like him because he's notorious for telling the truth. I don't like him because every time I consult him, he prophesies bad things against me, Ahab said. Brothers and sisters, this morning, the value of someone who speaks the word of the Lord is not whether the hearers like the word, but whether the prophecy is true. The very nature of prophecy is to speak the truth. And so Ahab, rather than sitting down and saying, you know, I've consulted with this prophet 7 different times, and all 7 times what he prophesied came true, instead he said, all 7 times he prophesied evil against me. It's kind of an interesting way of quantifying truth. However, we live in an age that likes to quantify truth in just that way. Does it suit me? Is it comfortable for me? Does it feel good when I hear it? And so Ahab says, yeah, there's that one more man. Yeah, Micaiah the son of Imlah. A man notorious for telling the truth. I was praying for you this morning and I said, Lord, raise up from among these young people some people who are notorious for speaking the truth. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Would you like to be one of those people who decides, even if 400 people who name the name of God all get together and go to one side, when the Spirit of God tells me something different, I will stand there and speak the truth? Number one, he was notorious for truth-telling. He was also valued for truth-telling. And I want to highlight the fact that while most people will not value you for speaking the truth, those with sincere hearts will. Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Don't speak bad about the man before he comes here. Don't say that he speaks evil of you. Let's hear from him also. Why, pray tell, did they ask to hear from the 401st prophet, if not that there was just a little bit of something in their heart that valued hearing the truth? We're looking at the life of Micaiah. May God make you and I to be like Micaiah. Notorious for telling the truth, unloved for telling the truth by those who don't want to hear it, but valued by those who want to hear the truth. And I want you to know, on the authority of God's word and the history that we see through the word of God, there will always be people who want to hear the truth. There will always be a Jehoshaphat who says, I feel like there's truth that I'm not getting. I feel like we're not quite hearing the truth, even though the 400 prophets have stood up and spoken with one mouth. There will always be people who value the truth. May you be those who value the truth. Young people, may you be those who love the truth. May you be one of those who hears 400 of God's people, in air quotes, 400 of God's people who say what everybody wants to hear, and yet there's still something in your heart that says, is there not yet another prophet? Is there not yet one more person that we could hear? I feel like we haven't quite gotten to the truth yet. May you be a lover of truth, and may you be one who speaks the truth, and know that there will always be people who value you because they know that you speak the truth. What an interesting scenario. This is a story, so we are supposed to picture it, right? We've got these two kings setting up there in their robes, all set up in their royal splendor, and they've got this just, you know, like a display of prophets coming one after another after another. Why do you need to hear 400? But they've heard 400 prophets, and they're prophesying away, and Ahab sends somebody. Go quickly. Go find that one prophet who I don't like. Go have him come here. And that servant rushes out. I don't know how far away Micaiah was, but he rushes out there to him. And on the way, he's giving him a little pep talk. He's like, hey, Micaiah, just kind of want you to know the lay of the land today. We've already got 400 prophets here, and the kings are waiting for their instructions, and they want confirmation. And I just want to kind of let you know what's going on. How about a little confirmation bias? Why don't you just agree with what the prophets have already said? Let me fill you in ahead of time on what they've been telling us. Micaiah refused instructions to conform. Micaiah refused instructions to conform. He said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. Put into common language, as long as God is alive, I'm going to tell the truth. As long as God is alive, whatever God tells me to preach is what I'm going to preach. As long as God is alive, I will live for the truth. May God make you like Micaiah. Hey, you know what? This is kind of what everybody's doing. Why don't you just kind of fit in? Excuse me. As long as my God is alive, I will speak and live and preach and value the truth. Can you imagine that kind of a conversation going along? You've called this man as a prophet of God. We want you to prophesy the truth, and you're getting a little pep talk on the side. This is what everybody's saying. Can you just kind of go along with it? I thought about that servant who was giving him those instructions. That person might be typical of the world trying to cow us, trying to get us to bow, trying to get us to conform, just kind of fit in. I know among young people there's this desperate desire to be normal. Normal's not very good, guys. We need to stand out for truth. There's this tremendous desire to just fit in. And so this servant from the king who came to call Micaiah might be typical of the world trying to make us fit in. Please, in a million ways, every year of your life, now more so than ever before, the servants of the king come and say, you know what, just kind of, can you just kind of fit in? Can you go along? You know, we've already got a very clear majority, 400. You're only one person. Can you just go along? Do you hear that call of the world, young people? Can you just fit in? Can you please just go along? That servant from the king typifies the world coming in and trying to make us just fit in. And just in case the numbers worry you, in case you ever feel like you're a tiny minority, Micaiah was too. Micaiah was in a tiny minority in the land of Israel and Judah, but he was also a minority within the voices of the prophets, his peers, those who supposedly heard from God. It was 400 to one. We actually might have odds that are better than that in North America today. I don't know. But I know that we're in the minority. And I know that the world wants us to conform. And I know that God wants us, like Micaiah, to say, as long as my God is alive, I'm going to speak the truth. I'm not going to fit in. I'm not going to go with the status quo. I'm not going to fit in with the other people. Even if they're my peers and friends, and even if they name the name of God, I will live as the word of God has been shown to me. Some of you young people came up here and made agreements with God that your own peers haven't made. Maybe God wants to use you to go home and spread the light to them. Some of you made agreements with God here that are not popular. Don't worry about that. I remember going to my father when I was about 15 years old, and I said, Papa, I don't understand why, if we're right, Why are we in such a tiny minority? Wouldn't it make sense that the people who are right would be the majority? I remember my father said to me, he said, son, it's always been that way. Those who follow the word of God, those who live for truth, have always been a tiny minority. But that tiny minority has been the hinge on which world history and church history has swung. Don't be afraid to be in the minority. So this gentleman who came to tell him to go along, he stands as typical of the world trying to conform us to its plan. He also stands as a type of the peer pressure which you may experience in your church or in your friend group. These were, after all, his prophet peers. I imagine the gentleman who came to call him was telling him, you know, this prophet and then the leader of prophets over here and this prophet, everybody's doing this. May God grant you young people the kind of spiritual understanding and backbone that says the fact that everybody's doing it is not good enough for me. As long as my God is alive, I will say only what God speaks to me. He pledged and kept, our fourth point. He pledged and kept his commitment to the truth. Even before he got there, he told the servant who called him, I am going there to speak the truth. When I get there and God tells me this, I will say it. You can count on me to say exactly what God's Spirit speaks to me. He pledged and he kept the truth. Now, I don't know exactly why when he stood in front of the kings and they asked him the first question, he parroted. But I believe, if you listen to me when I read it, I put on the parrot tone of voice, at least I tried. I believe when he stood in front of these two kings, he decided to sort of put a mirror or turn the tables on the kings by parroting what everybody else said. Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper. And somehow in his tone of voice, immediately the king knew. Yeah, this is what we've heard from everybody else. This is that same message that we knew wasn't quite the truth. Young people, do you know that even for all the darkness and downward trend of North America today, people are still looking for truth? They are. They're looking for reality. They're looking for something genuine. They're looking for something radical. God make you the Micaiah. He says, okay, you want the truth? Here's the truth. God told me that the king is going to die and all the people are going to be scattered. Ahab says, didn't I tell you he was going to come up here and say something bad? I told you this was what was going to happen. But Micaiah pledged and kept his commitment to the truth. Then he stood in front of the king and he spoke the truth just exactly as God had given it to him. This is the vision that I saw. I saw the people scattered. I saw them without a king. I saw the king dead. And of course, what you would expect occurs. He spoke the truth as God showed it to him. Immediately following that speaking and announcing the truth, he had to accept persecution from his peers. You should expect a Zedekiah, the son of Chenana, in your life. You stand up and speak the truth and say, God has allowed a lying spirit in all of these prophets. All of these prophets have listened to a lying spirit, and all of them are working together in cahoots to send you up there to die. You should expect somebody to stand up and say, hey, just a minute. You think you've got the corner on truth? Where did God's Spirit go from me to speak to you? So you think I didn't hear from God? And it's not unusual for people to be defensive when you speak the truth and your truth shows up their lies. Truth, by its very nature, shows up the lies. And that's not really anything personal between these two prophets. It's just that this was God's word and Micaiah had to speak it. But he had to accept persecution from his peers. It's one thing to be slapped by the world. It's another thing for one of your co-prophets to come up and slap you on. But Micaiah accepted persecution from his peers. Next, he accepted persecution from his king. Ahab really doesn't understand that he's working with God here. He says, go put this man in prison and make sure you feed him bread of affliction and water of affliction. I don't know if that was a particularly bad form of bread, like, you know, if it's bread and water, but if it's three-day-old bread, that's bread of affliction, and if it's nasty water, it's water of affliction. I'm not exactly sure. But even if it was just bread and water, you fast on bread and water for 2 weeks, it becomes the bread and water of affliction. He says, go put this man in prison, hand him to the prince, and tell him to keep him, tell him that he should keep him in prison till I come back in peace. I had a little bit of a funny thought, which maybe I should have controlled, but I'm going to share it with you. Does that mean Micaiah is still in prison waiting for Ahab to come home? The king's last word to him was, keep him in prison till I come back in peace. Well, he didn't come back in peace. So Micaiah accepted persecution from his king. King said, go lock him up. Go put this man in prison. I'm going to come back in peace and I'll deal with him later. Go put him in prison. And Micaiah was willing to go to prison for speaking the truth. Now, right now, we're not facing that. It feels to me like it's very likely in your lifetimes that we will face that. But right now, the prison that we may face is simply being pushed away or out of the cool group or held off by some of our friends or looked at a little bit strangely. And that may be the most difficult thing we face right now. But for young people, that can be quite painful. And even for me as a slightly older person, to have my peers look at me strangely is very painful. And so I want to encourage us today to be like Micaiah, willing to suffer persecution from my peers, willing to suffer persecution from my king. Verse 28, reminding us here in our final verse of a couple of points here. Our next point is that Micaiah called out the lies which were prevalent in his day. Micaiah called out the lies which were prevalent in his day. The day is coming quickly in North America where the challenge will be, is the church going to be quiet or is the church going to speak the truth? Is the church going to just decide to kind of hide as much as possible or is the church going to be known for standing up and saying, this is the truth? Micaiah spoke up and communicated the truth. Our next point, Micaiah was unshaken by everything shaking around him. The Bible doesn't tell us what Micaiah was doing. But in my mind, I tried to think through what must it have been like. You know, Micaiah's sitting in his house. He's pottering around in his garden. Maybe he's drinking a cup of tea. And here comes a messenger from the king. And just like 2 or 3 hours later, he's on his way to prison. It's like, what has just happened in my life? I was just having a lovely Saturday morning, and the king sends a messenger to me, and I spoke the truth as God gave it to me, and now I'm on my way to the king's prison. But Micaiah was unshaken by all of that. Micaiah didn't start to waver. He didn't start to adapt his message. He didn't try to smooth it over a little bit. He didn't try to connect with Zedekiah, the son of Chenana, and say, well, we can work this out. He spoke the truth. And finally, he restated the truth on his way out the door to prison. He says to the people, Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And just in case anybody wasn't aware of what he was saying, he says, hearken, O people, every one of you. And by that action, all of those people became witnesses to the prophecy that Micaiah had just given, and they became witnesses to the truth of God's word and what was about to happen in the life of these two kings. Micaiah was not shaken. Micaiah was not cowed. Micaiah was not quieted. Micaiah was not hiding. He was not looking for a cave. He's on his way to prison. He says, listen, all of you, if this king comes back in peace, God did not speak through me. That's like he's doubling down on the truth that he's just spoken. He's not bowing. He's not afraid. He's not bending. He's not cowed by all that he's walked through. Micaiah restates the truth on his way to prison. This morning, young people, I have a special burden for all of you as you go back into normal life. You know, Bible school is not normal life. It's special. It's special in terms of friendship. It's special in terms of time spent in corporate worship, messages every day, that lovely coffee you had downstairs, the meals that all the staff put on. God bless you. Bible school is not normal. And 2 or 3 days from now, or 5 days from now, you're going to be very much back into normal life. The need of the hour in your peer group, in your church, in your state, in this nation, the need of the hour is for men and women who will stand for truth, who will stand up and be an example to those who are around them, whether it's to the kings, whether it's to the nations, or whether it's to the prophets, those who are already in the church. God is looking for people who will stand for the truth. You've learned something new. Don't be embarrassed. You've made some commitments to Christ during this week. Don't go home and be quiet about it. I appreciate you sharing your testimonies. Obviously, not everyone did, but some of you shared. You need to continue sharing. In fact, I would urge you, within the first day or two of getting home, wherever home is, if it's here in Lancaster County, this afternoon, when you get home with your parents, sit down and share. Call one of your friends, call your best friend, and tell them what God has done for you. There is something powerful about testifying of the truth of what God has done in my life. It helps it to stick. There's also something in the opposite way. Conversely, I think they say, there's something really powerful about having God do something in your heart and you just... That's one of the fastest ways possible to have what God did in your heart go away. And you just keep quiet and you don't want to tell your friends and you're thinking, oh my, if I tell them I think I got filled with the Holy Spirit, somebody's going to be like, whoa, where did you go to Bible school? You tell them, I got free. I'm not struggling with lust anymore. They're going to say, oh, really? Well, that was a week of Bible school. If you're cowed, if you hear the peer pressure messenger who comes to you and says, look, this is what everybody has agreed to say. Just kind of go along with it. When you hear that and you live that way for a few days, it's a pretty small thing for Satan to steal the seed out of your heart that God planted. But when you stand up and tell people, this is what God did in my life. I've renewed my commitment in this way. I have broken free of this. I've received healing and forgiveness. I have forgiven others. When you testify of what God's been doing in your life, you are speaking the truth. I remember as a young man, around the time I got married, God was teaching my wife and I that one of the elements of truth is being willing to confess where we failed. But another element of truth is being able to testify about what God is doing in my life. You need both elements of truth. If you came here and cleared things, you need to go home and tell people you did that. If you came here and learned some new nugget of truth which is transforming your life, you need to testify of it. I'm praying that God will raise up here some Micaiahs, men and women who are notorious for telling the truth. Yeah, there's going to be lots of people who are going to say, just like they said about Micaiah, there is that one person, but I don't like him because everything he says goes against me. But there will also be Jehoshaphats in your life who will say, I needed that. Some of you were brought here by friends. Some of you got to where you got to this week because of somebody else testifying of truth in their lives. May God make us a nation or a Christian nation of Micaiahs who will stand up Tell the truth. Be unbowed by the peer pressure and criticism. I'd like to encourage you to leave this Bible school with a watchword on your mouth from Micaiah. As long as my God is alive, I will speak the truth. As long as my God is alive, I will bear testimony to the things that God is doing in my life. I'm not going to worry about whether it goes along with the status quo. I'm not going to worry about whether everybody else is doing something different. I'm going to stand. Micaiah, notorious for truth-telling. Let's bow our heads. Father, we want to thank you this morning for 1 Kings chapter 22 and this 28-verse snapshot of the life of a man who really challenges us. Lord Jesus, you have done so many good things in the hearts of these young people this week. And Lord, you're still doing them. Father, I pray that you will add to all that you've done in their lives this week, you will add to them the grace and grit necessary to stand for truth. Oh Lord, the world cows us. They attempt to change us. They want to conform us to their image. Lord, let us be transformed by renewing our minds in your word. I pray that these young people would have a commitment as they go home that they are not going to go along with their peer group in any area that does not go along with what your word is speaking into their hearts. And especially this week, Lord, let them go home and testify boldly. Let them go home and proclaim your goodness. Let them go home and explain to you, to people, the great things that you have done in their life. Pour your grace on each one of them, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, young people. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.